Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello and happy Friday. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on the 7th of March. Coming up today, we'll hear from the Conservative leader who's been in Kent ahead of what could be difficult local elections. We'll also hear from Gillingham's new defender as they look to bounce back from a League 2 loss this weekend. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a business owner in Ashford who spent £300,000 renovating his shop is calling for compensation after being ordered to leave. Last week, we told you how council have decided to demolish Park Mall and the Edinburgh Road car park, and the shops inside will have to be relocated. Lucy's got more details on this latest development for us. Lucy, the shop owner is pretty unhappy about having to move.
Yes, that's right. Matthew Abercrombie says he spent his life savings opening Vapology in Park Mall Shopping Centre. He took over an empty unit in 2019, taking out a 10-year lease, and spent £300,000 completely gutting the shop and building it up again. He said he'd intended on recuperating the money invested over the span of the lease, but now he's been given just 6 months to get out and fears he may have to close the business altogether.
And he wants to see council offering more support to the shops still on the site. Is that right?
Yes, the council have said they will help businesses move into vacant sites in the town centre. They can also apply for a grant of up to £10,000, which they'll receive once they've invested the same amount, bringing the empty site back into use. But Mr Abercrombie says it isn't enough and it should be more like £50,000. He's also disputing why they need to be out in just 6 months when the buildings aren't going to be demolished until next year.
And what do council have to say about all this?
Well, Ashford Borough Council says Park Mall has been in a state of spiralling decline for several years and is operating at a significant loss. It'll be knocked down along with neighbouring Edinburgh Road multi-storey car park as part of plans to build homes across both sites in later years. When questioned about the decision last week, a spokesperson said the development will serve as a catalyst for the regeneration of the town centre. They say it'll transform the area into a desirable and vibrant destination.
Thanks, Lucy.
Kent Online News.
A man who stole a woman's car from her home before crashing it in Broadstairs has been banned from driving. Lewis Fillery caused thousands of pounds worth of damage when it happened in Reading Street last August. Then he ran from the scene. The 21-year-old from Crundall Way in Cliftonville was given a suspended jail term and can't drive for a year. Six people who helped run a drugs network in North and West Kent have been jailed for a total of more than 26 years. They were known as the Blue Eyes Gang and supplied cocaine, MDMA and cannabis to people across the county. Five men and a woman have been locked up. Two others were given suspended sentences. A Medway charity says two of its shops have been broken into in the same night. Gillingham Street Angels provides meals and support services for those who are homeless or struggling to get by. Finn McDermott from our colleagues at KMTV has been speaking to Neil Charlick, who's their chief executive.
Me and a fellow member of staff go around the shops in the morning, removing stock that's not supposed to be in one shop. So there's a shop that sells clothes, so we'll take the clothes that donate from other shops, take them to the shop where they need to be. While we were in that shop, we realised what a door that had been pushed open, thought this was a bit odd, then decided to look around the building. It's the old Argos store in Chatham. Looked around, then realised quite quickly they'd gone into various rooms, taken a till, taken costume jewellery and other items of not huge value. It's more the damage they've done to the property that's the inconvenience.
And do you have any ideas why they might have done something like this?
Someone's got an issue there. Someone needed money. They needed money quickly. To do it to a charity shop is a bit harsh. To do it to anyone's a bit harsh. Small businesses out there are suffering as it is without people adding to their pressures.
Absolutely. And you mentioned when you came in, you had a look at the cameras as well. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, we had a look at the cameras. We can see the guy clearly on the cameras. Can't make out a kind of ID someone, face covered. Clearly watching him, it's dark as well in the building, but we've got fairly good footage of it.
And what are the next steps?
Get on with what we do, feed people and help people out. It's no good really reporting it. It's not going to go anywhere, so it's just a matter of us and the team. We're under pressure as it is anyway, just cracking on and getting on with what we do.
Debbie Brooke works as a volunteer with the charity.
What was your experience when you came to the site and saw the break-ins? What happened there?
So we didn't realise at first, so then when we did realise, we went round the building and checked all the areas, and it was quite scary to be honest, because you don't know if someone's in the building or not, and obviously it was just me and Neil, So we've gone round, had a look, found out where they've come in, where they've gone back out, what they've taken, and it's quite a scary thing, to be honest.
And it's quite rare, isn't it? What was your reaction like? Do you ever get this kind of thing normally?
No, it's very rare. No, we don't normally, especially not two in one night. It's bad. We went to Chatham first, and then we went on to Gillingham, and realised, obviously, that Gillingham had been done after that. But luckily, not much was taken from Gillingham. It was Chatham that they got more out of. We've obviously got to up the security and things like that and make sure that it doesn't happen again. Obviously we can't afford losses like that.
Kent Online News.
9 people have been arrested as part of a crackdown on cannabis cultivation across Kent. Police carried out raids in areas including Rochester, Mepham and Tunbridge last month. They've released footage of officers storming some of the properties.
Keep going. Run it.
Please!
Four.
Body-worn cameras also show the moment police discovered cannabis at one of the sites.
We have grow tents containing a multitude of plants, unknown in number at present, and a secondary grow tent. Lights currently aren't on.
Cash, cocaine and weapons were also seized as part of the operation to tackle organised crime. The RSPCA are investigating after a dog was found dead near Sevenoaks. The bull breed type was discovered on a popular walking route at Mill Lane in Shoreham and was wrapped in an old T-shirt and a bin bag. Vets think he may have been deliberately strangled before being dumped there. The UK has signed a new agreement with France to try and tackle small boat crossings. The Home Office says a roadmap has identified 4 top priorities for border control and will boost cooperation between the two countries. More asylum seekers were seen crossing the Channel to Dover yesterday. The Conservative leader has been in Kent to try and drum up support ahead of May's local elections. The Tories currently have around 3/4 of the 81 seats at KCC, but it's thought Reform UK could do well in the upcoming vote. Kemi Badenoch has been visiting a warehouse in Aylesford and has spoken to local democracy reporter Simon Finlay.
Kent County Council elections happen on May the 1st, and Reform UK is widely tipped to do well. They may not actually win the seats, but they'll certainly influence the results of them. What strategy have you got to counter them in Kent particularly?
Well, we need to look at the record of the local council. These are county council elections. Conservative councils deliver the very best value for money. They are the best at delivery. We need to remember that this is not a TV show where you vote and the winner gets a prize and it's all over. People have to live with what they vote for. And so what we're reminding people is how well we do at local government. We're still the best party there. And to remember that we are asking the question, who do you want running your local services? If people want to send a message to the Labour government, then the best option is to vote Conservative.
Kent failed to make the first round of the government's devolution and local government reform when every other council in the South East seemed to be accepted. Have you any thoughts on this?
I think that it's really important that devolution is bottom up, not top down. It's not clear that Labour's plan on devolution is one that is more than a process. We need to start looking at outcomes. I know that there are other places that are getting their devolution deals, so let's wait and see. Devolution in and of itself is not a solution. It is a process. It's what people do with it afterwards that makes the difference.
Do you think that local government in Kent needs reforms?
I don't know enough about Kent. You can ask me about Essex. I'm an Essex MP, but you would have to ask a local Kent MP about the details of what local government reforms would be required there.
Kent Online News.
Residents have criticised plans to put double yellow lines on a street in Northfleet. They say restrictions on Mark Square would be unfair, but highways bosses say they're needed to provide ambulance access to Eleanor Hospice. Gravesham's Joint Transportation Board have given it the go-ahead. Elsewhere, double yellow lines are set to be reinstated in Faversham Town Centre to stop cars blocking views of historic landmarks. Parking restrictions will be enforced around the Guildhall and Marketplace. There were also concerns over safety of pedestrians.
Kent Online News.
A Medway mum's trying to find the Good Samaritan who stopped her 14-year-old son from being mugged. James Dean was cycling home from his granddad's house when he was attacked by a woman outside a barber shop in Rochester last Sunday. A man got out of his car to help the teenager. 2 people were later arrested. One of Medway's MPs says getting caught up in a social media storm after being elected has made her a stronger politician. Historic tweets from Lauren Edwards' account were reshared last summer. She did issue an apology at the time, which was reshared by X owner Elon Musk. Lauren's been speaking to local Democracy reporter Simon Finlay on the Kent Politics podcast.
It's always difficult when you go back and have a look at old social media posts, because it was a very different time. We were using social media in a very, very different way. And I guess I'd also been through some of my social media posts as well and hadn't really found anything that was concerning. So had
Did you
taken
not go through it before
that.
You became an MP or before
oh, yeah,
you became
absolutely.
A candidate?
Everyone does. Yeah. But to go back 15 years, I think I must have missed some stuff or not gone back far enough.
When things took a slightly dramatic turn when Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, and possibly one of the most powerful as well, got involved by sharing your apology. What kind of reaction, how did you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I didn't necessarily see the response because I had come off, you know, I had obviously recognised that the tweets, although, the intention that some people took away from them was not the correct one. I could see what they looked like if you didn't necessarily know the context of some of them. So I obviously came off social media because it's not a good place to be when there's a pile on. So to be honest, I didn't see a lot of the stuff that came afterwards. I knew that he had highlighted it and that it obviously reached a lot more people. But, you know, there's absolutely nothing I can do about that. No. So I just sort of stayed off social media and kind of did the right thing, acknowledged that they were not great social media posts, apologised, and you know, now I'm really just focused on delivering for those voters who voted for me and dealing with those challenges that I was elected to deal with, everything from the NHS to the economy.
Were you prepared for the storm when it happened?
I don't think you can ever be prepared for a social media storm, to be honest.
How did you cope with it then?
Sorry?
How did you cope with it?
Well, I think friends and family are really, really helpful. Obviously, you have to, you know, acknowledge your mistakes. You have to learn from them. You have to think about what your job is. I can't go and hide under a rock. Obviously, need a bit of time to deal with it, to process it. And obviously, friends and family are a huge support. Mm. You stay off social media because, you know, it's not a great place in most circumstances, to be honest. I mean, some of it, Twitter is or X now is basically unregulated. But you just focus on doing what you are elected to do. And so I just kept myself very busy.
Notwithstanding the fact that you were probably a lot younger when you did.
I think that was 15 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, so. When you did those posts. I mean, but, you know, I have to ask why on earth you put this stuff on the social media in the first place. It was just a different time, a different...
Yeah, I think people used to put whatever random thought was going into their head on there. And I think it was a different time for social media. It was almost like treated like a diary almost. Mm. It just didn't have the reach. And I think we were less conscious about the way that things can be interpreted in different ways rather than the way that we intended them.
I suppose it was pre-Me Too, pre sort of a lot of the culture wars and things that have evolved in recent times. But, you know, I have to ask, you know, do you accept this stuff about Estonians and so on could be interpreted in a negative way, possibly xenophobic and borderline racist?
Yeah, well, the thing with the Estonian, it's not that I have some oddly specific xenophobia towards Estonian people. So this is when I referenced earlier the context. So I, at the time, I realised was living in a share house, quite young, like people do in their early 20s, and I had an Estonian flatmate who was bringing people around late at night to basically have a party, and I was very conscious of having to go to work the next day. So, you know, I think a sleep-deprived tweet of me saying, you know, I wish these Estonians would get out is not about them leaving Britain. It's about me wanting them to leave my house so that I can go to sleep and go to work refreshed. So that's what I mean about things being taken out of context. Yeah. But at the time, we just didn't really think about that. Mm. And so, yeah, it's not that I have any oddly specific xenophobic views towards people. It was a very particular context. And this is the danger of social media. And I think people are much more aware now. And, you know, young people, hopefully, are much more aware about the dangers of this kind of thing, because things can be taken in a way that you absolutely didn't intend,
sure.
In a way that obviously has reputational damage. But as I said, you know, I know my character, I know my values, and I'm just focused on making sure that I am doing the best job I can as the MP for Rochester and Strood.
Kent Online News.
The ambulance service that covers Kent is coming out of special measures. It follows a thorough review by NHS England, who say it's an important milestone for CCAM, although added there is still work to do. The Trust Chief Executive has thanked staff for their hard work, dedication and commitment. Two Greenhithe Asda workers have been praised for helping a man who suffered a heart attack in the store. The pair were able to keep him comfortable before paramedics arrived. He's since received surgery and is recovering well. A number of West End stars are going to be performing in Kent tonight to raise money for a local youth group. Gifted Young Gravesham recently lost their funding from the County Council and so need more cash to help run community projects. Actors from Hamilton, Kinky Boots and Lion King will be among those on stage at the Woodville this evening. Lucy's been chatting to Leanne Jones, who played Tracy Turnblad in the West End production of the musical Hairspray.
I've worked for GYG for, I think it's 5 or 6 years now, and it is just my ultimate, my favourite thing to do. Locally, I go there once or twice a week. I've got to know all of the staff and all of the young people. And obviously we have young people filtering through as well. So we see them from like 11 years old to 16 and see their journey. And I'm just so proud to be involved with GYG. It's just, you know, it's so close to my heart. So when our funding was cut, obviously my job was threatened, and you know, some of the things that maybe we wanted to achieve, we were worried whether we were going to be able to. So anything that I can be doing to help raise money and to bring awareness to the fact that youth funding's been cut around the country, it's just like number one priority. So this was just, I thought, a really great idea. It's a lovely project for us to be working on together as well, and hopefully the young people are really excited about some of the people they're going to be singing with. But yeah, I'm very, very excited, and I hope we raise lots of money, and I hope that the people of Gravesend and the surrounding areas come out to support their youth services, because, you know, we are a vital asset to our town and all around. And yeah, it should be a great night of entertainment that people will enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously you see this firsthand, but what kind of impact do services like Gifted Young Gravesham have on young people who maybe are struggling to find their voice and are kind of growing up and want some way to express themselves?
I think that the arts is so good for young people's mental health. And even if, you know, you come to GYG and you're not going to be a famous singer or a famous actress when you're older, it's like the taking part and being part of a team. And I think when you are part of a show, or maybe part of a sports team as well, as a young person, it can like feed into a lot of how you feel as an adult. And I think you can look back on those moments of being working as part of a team. And when you're in a show, it's like the buzz of being backstage and like being with all your friends, and rehearsals as well, like, it's just fun and it's just good for you. And we see the like beautiful stories that come out of our sessions. Like, you know, I just said, we see them hopefully for quite a few years, and we get some people that start off really shy and quiet, and you can just see their personalities like blossom by coming to the sessions. And then you might see them just as part of the choir when they first start out, and then when they're older, like having a solo number, like at the Woodville on a main stage with all the lights and the sound. It's just a real buzz.
And a ballot opens today to get hold of free tickets for attractions across Kent. The Kent Big Weekend will happen in April and is about celebrating what we've got on our doorstep. You can apply for tickets over the next 10 days.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and promotion chasing Bradford City travel to take on struggling Gillingham this weekend. The visitors to Priestfield are currently second in League Two, while the Gills are 19th. John Coleman's side will be hoping to bounce back from a 3-1 defeat midweek. His defender, Andy Smith.
It's disappointing. Never want to lose a game, especially in the manner that we did in the first half, going 3 goals down. So, yeah, really disappointing. But, you know, that's the beauty of football. There's no time to dwell on it. We're all ready to go again on Saturday, and like I say, hopefully we can put things right.
How have you settled here? Has it helped having Robbie McKenzie and Max Clark around you telling you where to go, where not to go?
Yeah, massively. They've both been brilliant with me since coming in. As of all the boys, I feel like I've settled in really well. It's a great group of lads, and we're all pulling in the right direction. So yeah, I've really enjoyed it. You know, hopefully I can get a goal. You know, it's something that I wanna try and improve on. You know, coming up with a goal, helping the team out. My job's not just to defend. It's to pop up with a goal here and there when I can. But it's something that we're working hard on in training to get ourselves opportunities on set plays, because we know how important they can be. Every game we go in with a confidence that we can go get something from the game, no matter who it may be. Obviously, Bradford are a really good side, and they're on good form at the minute, but we won't be going into the game thinking about that. We'll focus on ourselves and try and implement the game on them. I don't think there's anyone that wants us to win more than the group of lads that are here. We're giving everything to try and get the win. Hopefully we can get a turn of form, which I think the performances have maybe warranted, barring Tuesday night perhaps. I think we're in a good space. I don't think there's any sort of negativity around the boys. We're focusing on the next game, and I think that's all you can do in football. You don't want to look too far into the future, worrying about who might beat who, where that might leave us, whatever it may be. I think all you can do as a footballer is focus on the next job in hand.
And in tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu has been knocked out in the first round at Indian Wells. She lost in straight sets to her Japanese opponent. It was the first time the 22-year-old from Orpington had played since she was targeted by a stalker in Dubai last month. She says that had no bearing on her performance.
I didn't have what happened in Dubai in my head at all today. If anything, like a bit of a lack of preparation on the tennis court. Playing someone who played pretty good in these conditions. I mean, extremely awkward in the wind here.
That's all from us today and for the week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.